Welcome to episode 148 of Conversation Street, where we're going to be talking about the episodes of Coronation Street broadcast in the UK between the 4th and the 8th of May. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And we're not quite over our colds.
Yeah, we're better than we were, aren't we? I definitely am better than I was.
I still feel crap.
Do you?
Yeah.
Aww. You sound better than you did the other day.
That's good.
You're not going to be coughing up the whole episode, are you?
Coughing up the whole episode? No, we don't have to do it, we've been done.
I'm not so bad, so I'm looking after Gemma now.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a cup of tea and things like that.
Stuff like that. Should we talk about Corrie history?
Yes. Sorry we're late this week, but let's get on with Coronation Street history. We have got, it's been a birthday this week, Bette Lynch's birthday this week.
75.
75 candles on the leopard skin cake this week. Still going strong, Bette. 70 years since the end of World War II this week. It's, isn't it VE Day? The other day, wasn't that the same as the election? And then all the party leaders that
lost that Tango. They're all gone now, aren't they? Apart from Cameron.
Yeah, we had an election this week.
Let's not talk about politics. You just said 70 years?
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, okay. End of World War II. And in Coronation Street fiction, because most, made up since the start of the show, Coronation Street residents had a street party, but the corner shop owner died there of a heart attack, Tommy Foyle. So even
back, it's always the party people.
Even back in the olden days, they couldn't have a party where some massive drama wasn't going on in the background.
No, it's called contrast. 35 years since Reg Holdsworth moved into the corner shop flat. And some say he's still there.
Do they?
No.
20 years since the first appearance of Billy Williams, who was the one that went on to marry Betty's
good
final husband.
Betty.
Yeah.
10 years since Zilla started working in Wong's Chippy and she got engaged to Les in order to get a load of wedding presents.
All right. They don't have any scenes in the Chippy anymore, do they?
Stupid.
That was, stupid that they don't, stupid when they did? They should. Everyone likes kebabs now, don't they? I'm surprised. It's not called Wong's Chippy anymore. It's for your fries only. But you see people having chips, but I think that they could bring back Mr. Wong or something, because that was quite a funny little partnership between him and Scylla and Yana when they used to work there. And it was also 10 years ago since... Did you say this? They decided to get engaged, Les and Scylla.
Yeah, I just said that.
Because they wanted to get all the wedding presents.
This is going to be a long podcast, isn't it? We don't know what we're talking about.
I'm feeling perfectly fine.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'm not. We just breathed in a load of WD-40 and I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, we almost had to buy a new patio door then because I wasn't sure.
I still think we're going to... How much are they?
Lots of money.
Does anybody live in the south of England who listens to us and want to give us a free...
patio door,
please,
because ours has been rubbish since we moved into this house 7 years ago, and just then it wouldn't even shut. Don't know. We managed to close it up for a bit.
But
enough of our problems. Let's talk about the problems of the Coronation
Fictional
Street
problems
residents.
Are Fictional much problems better, are much more important for us. That's why we like Coronation Street, because it reminds us to be thankful for small mercies.
Yeah, at least our lives will never be as bad as anybody living on Coronation Street.
And if they are, at least it's not going to be continuous, kind of like several months worth of horribleness.
Yeah, in Coronation Street, you're either in it having problems or you're not in it at all.
Yeah, hopefully we won't be in it. Anyway, let's move on to street talk.
Okay, so this week we had five main storylines to talk about. The main one was the continuation of the paternity dispute, where we had a bit of location shoots in Liverpool this week. David took leave of his senses, I would say, and kidnapped... Well, he took his children away
which
on a nice holiday to Liverpool.
I would have said. But, there's nothing wrong with Liverpool.
Not the smartest move, but it showed how desperate situation he was in.
Desperate.
We had we got more of the revved up storyline, nearly revved out this week, didn't they? Nearly hanging up his dog collar.
Yeah, and then we had the bride and groom, our lovely.
Yeah, so you liked this storyline this week, didn't you? Because it had
a dog in it.
Yeah, new pet for Coronation Street. I don't know whether it's staying. But that dog was played by Simon Gregson's dog. So that shows.
It was played by Simon Gregson's dog.
Yes, so that is why they got on so well.
Aww.
Are you hoping that they keep this? Do we need another dog on
Coronation I can't see how they can keep him, really. Apart from appearing in the odd scene every now and then, because usually the reason why they're in soaps or any TV show or anything like that, the reason that they have pedigree animals is because they can swap out the same dog for different dogs.
Nobody will notice.
And no one will know. Whereas they won't better do this, because I do not think this is a pedigree. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what Hanbury does. It's the weirdest looking dog I've ever seen.
That's still cute.
It's adorable. It's like very strange looking.
We'll also talk more about the Devs Divas storyline. We've got Julie and Mary at each other's throats at the beginning of the week, which led to Mary being homeless at the end of it. Ah, her poor motorhome. Will we see it again?
Don't know.
Maybe probably not. I don't know. And from dogs to cougars at the end of the week, well, beginning of the week, actually, at the end of the street talk, we'll be talking more a little bit about Erica and her cub, the cougar's cub storyline.
Oh, little cub. Imagine if it was really a little cub, it would be cute.
That would be cute. There aren't enough cats. Cougars are cats, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I thought that. We don't have enough cats on Coronation Street, so I'd be all supportive of that.
That's because cats are crap.
No, they're not. They're brilliant.
Yeah, they are. Right, let's do paternity dispute then on Monday.
It's bank holiday Monday, wasn't it? So David wants to go to the fair with Max, but he doesn't want to go on the merry-go-round because Callum said they're for babies.
Oh.
And also in the background, Sarah and Callum are agreeing to meet at the house at lunchtime. And at the beginning of the week, all through the week, we were saying, why is Sarah still going out with Callum? What does she still see in him? And then every so often, Callum would come into it this week and he'd be nasty to everyone, including Sarah, and like talk down to her and threaten her as well.
Grab her by the neck.
And I was just assuming, like, okay, so this is the end for Sarah and Callum then. She's going to come to her senses. But no.
Do you think this is going to culminate in some kind of proper abusive relationship between her and Callum where she's kind of like locked in a flat somewhere and she's not allowed to leave and talk to anybody and she's crying and snivelling and then.
It could do, but it's not been that long ago since Tyrone and Kirsty, isn't it? And it's the shoe on the other foot, isn't it? Yeah.
No, it would be a completely different thing because Tyrone and Kirsty was sort of like play happy families for everyone else, but in the dark, you know, behind closed doors, it was smack crap, you know. Mm. Whereas this would be proper, you're my little slave.
With Kirsty though, everybody apart from Tyrone thought that Kirsty was nice, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Fizz, obviously. But everybody knows that Callum's no good for Sarah, and Sarah kind of understands that he's no good for her as well. I don't. With Tyrone, he's like, oh, I still love you and everything to Kirsty, but I just don't. I don't understand what is keeping Sarah with him.
I think it's ridiculous.
It is a little bit. I mean, everything's going to change in a couple of weeks when the court case comes and Kylie comes back and everything, but
yeah.
I can't see the relationship going past this, but I mean, I wouldn't have thought it would be still going on now. So who knows? Anyway, David sees them going into the house together on Monday because he comes back from the fair early. Because he didn't know at this point that she was secretly seeing him, which was what was revealed to Nick, wasn't it, last week? So he goes inside and he's acting as if he didn't know that Callum was there. And Sarah's trying to sort of act all innocent and everything. But David eventually says, look, I know Callum's upstairs, and he comes down all cocky. David throws him and Sarah out, and then also Nick has to, when Nick turns up, he has to pretend he didn't know that it was all going on, although they didn't really make anything of the fact that Nick already knew, did they? I think he kind of got off the hook that he was keeping that a secret there.
Yeah.
And Nick says to David, look, you've got to not keep rising to Callum, and David's like, well, when I stood up to him in the past, this is what happened to me, and he showed his bruises again.
Yeah.
And Nick says, look, the hearing's in 2 weeks' time. You just got to wait it out.
So what does he do? He bundles the children into the back of a taxi with their passports and says they're going on holiday. And Bethany sees them leaving.
Yeah. I don't know.
What a stupid move.
Did they, at any point, did they actually say where he was planning to take them? So I remember he was talking about, I haven't got flights or I need to book flights or whatever.
Yeah, he told Max he could pick.
Yeah, I mean, when he was heading off towards Liverpool, I thought he might be going to see Martin, because I thought, where does he live? Because I thought Martin lived in Liverpool.
Oh.
But I mean, I knew that the actor wasn't going to be appearing in it, but I thought he might be going to kind of hide out there, although that probably would be the most obvious place that he would go if he was trying to go on the run. But then, I don't know, flying out to see Becky might be a good move as well, although whether or not Kylie has been having words with Becky and saying, look, just ignore David. Me and him are split off. I don't know how welcoming she'd be. But
well, she likes the kiddies.
She likes Max, doesn't she?
If David turned up with a sob story about, I'm trying to escape, somebody wants to take Max off me and I love him like he's my own, she'd completely sympathise with that because she
She's so protective of her
family.
She
knows, also knows what it's like to not be the real guardian of a pet, of a child that's in danger, and be feel powerless to do anything about it.
Yeah, and that could, if he had gone off to go and see Becky, that could have been a good way of bringing Kylie back, couldn't he? Because he could have very well just found her there and then brought her back, and then happy ending to the story.
And they could have filmed it all on a beach in Wales, and just like they do in Doctor Who.
Not just foggy Liverpool, which is where they ended off.
Right, so that was the end of the first episode on Monday. And so on the second episode, Nick confronts Sarah and says, "You are cold and selfish and you deserve Callum anyway." And Callum says, "Oh, I'm going to go and check on Max." But Sarah says, "No, no, I'll do it." And then Nick says, "Look, Sarah, you know that Callum is only on, only with you to upset David, and he is close to the brink, and you know that never ends well." So then Bethany tells Sarah and Nick that David's gone in a taxi. They both panic. And you've written they end up in Liverpool in a hotel, which I guess is a different scene.
Yes.
so then Sarah and Nick have a screaming match about who is the worst sibling. And it looks like
they're all bad to each other. Nobody's a particularly good brother or sister in this family, are they?
And then David phones up Nick and says, "Oh, I don't know what to do. Everyone's fine. Don't worry about it. I just escaped the situation." He hangs up. And Bethany says, "Why don't you look for the passports?" And Nick checks and realises that they're gone. And then Nick goes, "Oh, this is all your fault. The reason, you're the reason he's gone. He always does the worst thing in every situation," which is the most hilarious thing, because that is true. That is what he does.
Yeah.
And then Callum starts phoning Sarah, and Nick says, "Keep your mouth shut."
But, I mean, what was David trying to achieve by running away, do you think? Because he did know that the court hearing was in 2 weeks. Was he hoping just to lie low and then come back?
Because I can't believe so.
He didn't seem like he had a proper plan.
I think he is just like, escape.
He didn't have any other grown-ups that he went away with, did he? So all we saw from David really was talking to Max and saying, "Oh, we're going on a holiday." And he did phone up back home a few times later in the meet. We were just like, "Oh, we're okay." But bit of a silly move, I think.
A little bit silly, yeah.
So Callum comes back later looking at Max, and he's demanding to know what happens. Sarah does admit to him that he went away in a cab. So Callum says, "Right, I'm calling for the police." But we need to remember at this point that David hasn't done anything illegal, but Callum knows.
Callum knows he's going to, or he's up to something. And he says, "Where's the passports?" And Sarah kind of distracts him by saying, "They're not going anywhere." And he gets all in her face and going, "Oh, you wouldn't lie to me, babe," in like a really scary way. And he says, "If Dave's not back tomorrow, I'm going to call the police."
He's saying it's a scary way, but it's only like a Callum scary way, which...
Oh, whatever. Would you like him to be in your face doing that?
No, but he is still... he's a bit of a... You know, we've said he's not the most intimidating of Corrie villains, is he? But I...
He's a fairly reasonable guy as far as Corrie villains goes. And we'll learn more about that in a minute anyway.
He gives the finger of doom to David on the phone because he tells him that if he's not going to... was it Nick phones up David and then Callum grabs the phone off him and he says, "If you're not back tomorrow, I'm going to find you and finish you."
Just Mortal Kombat. So David then decides to get Max to help him to book a flight, and he can pick where they go.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get paid tomorrow, apparently. But we find out that doesn't go to plan, does it?
What does Callum do during the day? Because has he got a job?
He's a drug dealer.
But I'm a bit confused because all we ever see him do is loitering around and then
sure you can understand what difficult job drug dealing is, Michael.
But I thought that his drug dealing was kind of put to one side at the moment because we haven't seen him do anything. We've barely seen any of Gemma and Macca.
You never see me do anything. That doesn't mean I don't do my job.
But if he's trying to get custody of Max, he's trying to show himself up as like a respectable citizen. But it doesn't seem like he's got a job.
Maybe he's taking a sabbatical.
I don't know. But... This is surely going to count against him at the hearing, isn't it? Because, I mean, I know he's later in the week trying to dig for dirt on David, but is there that he can offer David Max a good, stable home?
If his mum's like a teacher and whatever, they're going to be... He can say something like, "Oh, she can stay with my mum," or, "Oh, I've given up my job so I can work care full-time for my children," or something. It's not going to count against you to not have a job. If you spin it right...
Let's
not forget that Callum and his mum have the gift of the gab.
Mm. It just seems to me like he's not coming from a very strong...
I think you're concentrating quite a lot on a very insignificant and pointless part of the story.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was worth saying. Because I just don't know.
Who cares if he's got a job? It's not even a real programme.
I just want to know what he says that he can do to provide for him. And I don't know whether he has benefits. Anything yet.
Anyway, lovely child benefits.
Anyway, so Wednesday, Callum bursts into the house and he's demanding to know where they are because he's like, I've given you enough time. And Sarah says, Gail's
such a liar.
Gail's back at dinner time because they're coming back from the honeymoon, aren't they? And she'll be able to talk David down, so it's all okay. Now, David can't get a flight on Wednesday, and Max has been really difficult because he's far from being excited about going off on holiday. He just wants to go back home, really, doesn't he? And
yeah, he wants to see his dad again.
Yeah.
So they say that David's taken his scissors with him, and I do not know why they bothered putting this in because it never gets mentioned again.
Well, it's just this is what makes me think maybe he wants to go and probably start a new life, and he's brought the only thing that's precious to him, his little hairdressing kit, and he's going to make it.
You can't get hair scissors anywhere else.
It's his special ones. It's not just any old scissors, and yeah, he's going to make a living cutting the hair of people and
foreigners
in Barbados or whatever. I don't know.
He's rushing around getting everything ready and he doesn't notice that Max got his phone. Dun dun dun.
Yeah, he did. When did Max get the phone? Was it Wednesday or Friday last week? Because David still doesn't know that he had this. I don't understand why he doesn't know this.
He's hiding it. Anyway.
But they made a big thing. I mean, Sarah Louise made a big thing about Callum giving him a phone.
Wow, all right.
So many plot holes. You're or maybe they're things that we didn't notice.
Anyway, Gail and Michael come back and Sarah tells them Nick's news, which we'll tell you later. And then they're talking about her and Callum.
Yeah, the fact that, well, Nick manages to change the subject onto the fact that Sarah is dating Callum, which obviously makes Gail freak out. And that Sarah's still defending herself, saying, oh, no, he's fine, just misunderstood, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually it comes out about what's happened to David and Gail's got to help them to find him. So Gail says that he's not got much money, tries to phone his phone, sees that the ringtone is still the UK one.
She's very smart.
Yeah, she is. And then she phones David and Max goes to pick it up. But David's like, no, he can't pick up the phone. He says, I'm sorry, just stay away from my phone. So he's obviously doesn't know what his story's going to be to his mum yet. And then at the end of the episode, we have a big scene with Callum coming around. He's annoyed that Max's still not there. He's disappointed in Gail. Michael's kind of no use in the ornament, really. Whittering on in the background.
They try to kick him out, and he's like, yeah. No, it's my family too.
Yeah.
Which is quite sweet.
And he's again saying, oh, Sarah lied to me. But she's like, oh, I didn't know. So he gets really mad. He's sort of threatening again
because he
to
the says family Max and Sarah. Is in danger, which is fair enough for him to think that, I think.
Well, isn't he just being a little bit melodramatic about it?
Yeah, but also, he doesn't know what David's like.
No, he doesn't know that David, at this moment, has been a psycho, so... Yeah. I don't know why he thinks that he is in danger. I mean, it's
why don't you try having a child who then gets taken away by the person who's supposed to be looking after him and don't tell you where... Imagine if somebody was looking after your cat... And then they went and they took her somewhere else and wouldn't give her back. You wouldn't go, I'll just assume the best possible situation is that she's enjoying a lovely holiday somewhere with lots and lots of catnip.
Well, anyway, so he's all for going to the police at the end of the episode. But Sarah's like, well, if you go to the police, then me and you are finished. And I thought that would be the point when he says, fine, whatever then. Because that's like he was with Katie, wasn't it? Didn't she
like,
try
you're
to...
too much trouble.
Yeah, because she is. I mean, when he was going out with Katie, it was just like a bit of a laugh, wasn't it? He wasn't particularly getting anything out of it. But I suppose he's, even whether or not he actually likes Sarah, he is getting something out of.
He's just got an in there in the family.
Yeah, exactly. Surprised she hasn't actually given him a key so that he doesn't have to burst in anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, she says Audrey stopped his wages, so he's going to be broke. So he's not going to get anywhere. So Callum says, right, the second you hear about him, you've got to tell me, because I've got people looking too, and you better hope they don't find him first.
Yeah.
So that's the end of that episode.
Yeah, when we start Friday's episode off with David in the little cafe in the hotel that he stayed in, and he's being complimented on his awesome parenting skills by a lovely little Scouse waitress, and he ignores a phone call from Gail again. And back at home, Sarah also reveals that she's been ignoring calls from Callum. Nick says, no, you've got to call him back and ask some more time.
So stupid. What does she think he's going to go away? He knows where they live.
I know.
So she meets him at a cafe and says, David might have done some dodgy things, but he would never harm Max.
Yeah, and this
Callum's
is what...
like...
Ah, dodgy things,
tell
eh?
Tell me more. But he's more interested in finding out where the kids are at this precise moment. And Sarah says, oh, he's at Martin's house in Warrington on a family visit. And then she gives him this fake address. She's such an idiot.
It's just buying time for a little bit, wasn't it? That's what everyone told her when she got home.
Well, she goes, oh, I said it was an ex-boyfriend's address. And they're like, well, he's going to be so cross when he comes back. And you lied to him. You idiot. And then they get interrupted when David phones and says, oh, I've got no choice. I had to take a chance for the kids, for the kids' sake. And then he looks around and, oh, Max has disappeared.
Yes. So Sarah then gets a phone call from Callum and she has to act all confused and surprised about David not being at Martin's house.
She's like, oh, maybe I got the address wrong.
Yeah. And then, but really, the still the most important thing that she's worried about is, she says to Bethany, is, oh, I think I might have cost myself my boyfriend.
Idiot.
She's such an idiot. I understood her going out with him at the beginning because it wasn't completely out of character, the fact that she used to go out with Aid Critchley and everything, but what is keeping her with him? I don't understand.
It's not even Stockholm syndrome because she's not even around him most of the time.
No, I know. But anyway, David gets a phone call. We didn't see exactly who it was, and it wasn't clear whether it was Max or David. But we then later arrived. I mean, Callum. But we later saw him arriving to where Max is. He's found himself this bench somewhere.
And, well, yeah, Max is on his phone, and then David gets a phone call, and then we see him.
Callum
arriving.
Pulls up in his drugmobile, and he's like super concerned, is Max okay and everything. So
so we know that Max phoned Callum on his phone,
yes,
to ask him to rescue him.
Yeah.
So Max says, oh, I didn't want to go on a plane. And Callum says, it's okay, you're safe. And David's like, oh, and he turned my back for 5 seconds. And Callum's like, oh, anything could have happened if he didn't have his phone on him. And David's like, what phone? And Callum says, doesn't matter, get in the car. So, although he's a villain, he's a very nice villain because he gives them all a lift back home, which is so weird.
Well, he's still doing his best to, like, show himself to be a good guy in front of Max, isn't he? He says, if Lily wasn't here, then I would leave you here. So he's a...
Well, he's still a nice bloke to care about kids at all.
If I was David, I might have... Well, I think David did want to, like, find another way home.
Forget that. If I was Callum, I'd be like, so long, sucker, I'll take my kid back to... Manchester, make your own way
good
back.
Good luck finding your way back.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. Right, so Gail and Michael are there saying, oh, we're going to call the police. And Nick's like, don't do that. And then they're still arguing when David drives up with Callum and Max in the car. And Callum says, oh, David was going to the airport and left Max wandering the streets. And so they all go inside to have an argument. But in the course of having this discussion... David kicks Callum out and he also kicks Bethany and Sarah out as well.
Again, just like they did on Monday.
Yeah, and Callum says, well, I'm going, but I'm going to come back for Max. So Callum then expects...
Yeah, I was going to say, she expects an apology from Sarah because she's made a mug of him, apparently. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, but, you know, I couldn't expect me to choose you over the family. But he says that he will eventually. And then she will eventually. And then she ends up going around his house to stay, doesn't she?
Stupid girl.
So I don't know whether she's been round his house before, but I mean, she doesn't think that he's a drug dealer now, but I mean, go into this drug den where he lives, it might be enough
Bethany
to change.
Though? I didn't get that bit.
Yes, but I can't remember. I assume she is. You can't go to Audrey's house because Audrey's mysteriously not in it at the moment.
Yeah.
And
I hope she's all right.
There's a sad final scene at the end of the episode with Gail and David there, and he's like a bit crying and saying it's all hopeless.
It doesn't matter what the courts decide because Max has already chosen Callum.
Yeah, he's won him.
Well, it's his own fault, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You also missed the point about Bethany telling Callum.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, when they're walking down the road together, she's like, I can't remember what... Because he says,
She just says, oh, David's a right psycho. You should have heard what he did to Nick in the car crash.
Yeah.
Idiot.
And so he's like, oh yeah, Gail, tell me a bit about that. Tell me a bit more.
Tell me again what happens. That's what I do if someone tells you something and I do it. Just tell me again, I can't quite remember that.
So this is going to be good ammunition against David when it comes to court in a couple of weeks' time, doesn't it? It just makes me wonder whether everything, all of David's misdemeanours are going to be brought to light.
Yeah.
He still wasn't a drug dealer though.
He's still not a drug dealer, so he's going to have to get some proof.
Yeah. I mean, do you assume, like I do, that it's just going to go down the route of everything's looking bad for David, but then Kylie shows up and throws the whole thing on its head?
Well, I'm the mother, and you've got to give custody to the mother, because that's how it works.
Do you think that when she comes back, she's going to want to go back to David?
Why did she only left because she was a junkie?
Yeah, well, didn't he... He kicked her out, didn't he? Not that you'd know that, so from the amount that he's been looking for her since.
She's been in rehab or something, and she comes back, and she's like, I'm working.
I would hope so, because I don't want the whole drugs thing to carry on, because it got a bit depressing before Christmas. Yeah. So hopefully they'll come back and be a nice... It's not going to be easy straight away, is it? And then I assume as well, it's going to the stuff with Gavin and Andy is going to come back in it to cause more plat drama in a few weeks' time.
Plat drama.
But, I mean, Kylie's not going to go back to Callum, is she? Or maybe...
I should hope not. But you don't know what she's been up to.
No.
Well, you know, she could have been tied up in Callum's loft.
She might have had her own little life somewhere and she takes Max away and then neither David nor Callum have got Max looking
at her. Yeah, that would show them.
Because Max would always want us to go back. Do you think Max is going to choose Kylie over Callum? Because he's already chosen Callum over David.
But that's because David just was a horrible git, wasn't he? He just... acted in the most ridiculous way possible.
He was acting very kind of suspicious. And I mean, children like going on holiday somewhere, but I'm not surprised that Max is like, I don't want to go on a plane, because he could see that they were just being a bit...
But also, you can see that, like, his dad's giving him presents, and David's just making it, being horrible about it, and saying, oh, you can't do fun things. And he's the one that's making him get up, get dressed, go to school, do his homework, and then along comes... What's his face?
Callum
going, oh, let's go and have fun. Here's a present. I love you. You're brilliant.
Yeah, we haven't seen David try and give a big present
I always think they play so easily into the hands of these people.
Mm. Well, maybe he thought that going on holiday was the equivalent, like, I'm going to buy him a really nice holiday. Let's go to Disney World or something.
Yay.
But no, he's too old for that now.
Yeah.
Right, let's do the Billy storyline, the revved up storyline, which seemed to have come to a bit of a conclusion this week, didn't it?
There's quite a lot this week, which is good.
There was. There's a new bishop in town who is notoriously anti-gay.
Oh dear. And then...
not only that, but...
The Gazette has the headline, No Room at the Inn for Gay Vicar and Boyfriend?
Yeah, and it was too...
See,
was it?
The question mark's the redeeming part of that, really. They should just be like, well, it doesn't say, it just says ?
It was, yeah, and it was 2 weeks ago that... Was it 2 or 3 weeks ago? I can't remember when this all happened, but they've already been keeping a lid on this story in time to...
Yeah,
coincide with
the worst
new
possible time.
Vicar's bishop's arrival. And it's gone to, like, whenever there's been religious or Christian whatever storylines in Coronation Street before, we've said that they're often portrayed in a bad light, or like as religious fanatics or really, really conservative. And
the
Billy's been quite different to that. But
Paul
now
Sophie
once again,
has
we,
as well.
Yeah, I guess so. Now once again, it's like, no. There, so.
Well, it's good that they show different sides, because it would be dishonest to say, oh, look at these lovely Christians, they're all gay. Don't you think? I mean, at the moment, there are 4 Christian characters we know of in the soap. There's Emily, there's Billy, there's Sophie, and I think I made up the 4th one.
The bishop, the unseen bishop.
And 2 of those are gay.
Yes.
Is that not a bit ridiculous?
I don't think it's the... the usual.
It's not
really
the usual mix, is
the
it?
The usual quota. Anyway. I would have thought it might have been interesting to have seen the vicar, the bishop. I keep calling the bishop, because at the moment he's just been painted as a villain, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he's not being sort of homophobic to be villainous or because he's mean. It's just that's linked to his beliefs, and I'd have been interested to see the conversation between him and Billy.
I know. I bet it was like, look, like, really hurts me to say this, but you can't. You can't be the vicar. I don't even think he said that, did he? Anyway,
I can't remember. Let's go on to find out.
So Sean's like, oh yeah. And Billy's like, well, why did you keep it a secret? I could have prepared myself if I'd known there was going to be a blimmin' story in the newspaper. So they storm around Deb's house where Julie is with the newspaper. And Julie's like, oh no, oh dear. And Sean seems to be blaming her more than Billy.
Mm. Yeah, Julie says that she's going to phone the Gazette and give him a piece of her mind. But Sean's like, no,
it's
too late now. The damage is done.
So Billy goes off to see this new bishop, and he comes back and says, oh, he saw it. He was upset. And he says, was he upset about you, or was he upset about the newspaper? And he says, both. Look, I never said to anybody that I was gay before now, because it never mattered. It didn't make any difference. There are no simple rules when it comes to being gay and being a vicar. The bishop was struggling between what he believes and what he thinks is right for the church, which I don't understand that sentence. And that is pretty much what he says.
Well, I think it was actually, now you come to mention it. So maybe the vicar
kind of makes it sound like the vicar's like, well, like, personally, I think it's fine to be gay, but the church, for the church's sake, I can't let you be a gay vicar. Or is he saying, personally, I think it's wrong, but it's right for the church? Because either way, you could spin it either way, couldn't you?
Well, he basically says, if you want to stay in the church, if I want to stay as a vicar, then we're going to have to hide this relationship up, or we leave the parish to go somewhere else. And he's like, he's a bit feeling guilty because he lied already. And he has said to the bishop that he's dumped Sean.
Yeah.
So his conundrum, like, at the end of the episode. Lied to the bishop, lied to God.
Lied to God, oh gosh.
Yeah.
You can't really lie to God because he knows. just putting that out there. On Wednesday, Billy comes and says to Sean, look, I panicked. It's over. And Sean's like, oh, well, I knew this was coming. And he says, no, not with you. With me and being a vicar, I've decided to resign. I love Sean. I love you very much. And Sean's like, ooh.
Yeah, it's quite sweet, isn't it?
Well, he says, God made me this way and he wanted me to be like this, so why should I be forced to pretend? And Sean's like, oh, it's terrible because the people in your parish are going to miss you and all you do is help people.
Yeah, and he says this is your vocation and everything.
Yeah, and Emily's shocked when she finds out. And so later on, Sean says, look, you can't quit. You can't choose between me and your vocation. It's enough you offered. Let's just pretend we're not dating. Time's changing. It's not going to be forever. One day we'll be able to be public with our relationship.
It reminds me a little bit of Roy and Hayley, and like when they first got married, and and one day the world will turn to agree with us and accept us, and then that actually did happen over the course
really
of Hayley
does,
being in the show.
It's so funny how quickly people change their minds about things. I mean, I was looking at a photo the other day of the, you know, in America where they had segregation and you couldn't have blacks and whites going to the same school, and there was a photo of a black girl who was marching into the school to go to school with the white kids, and they were all but following her and like poking her and making fun of her and stuff. And it's like, that was like 60 years ago or something. It's just ridiculous how hateful and horrible people are. And yet, you know, now you couldn't find somebody openly admitting that they would have done that. I mean, there are people in that photo still alive.
I know.
Well, how can it have changed so quickly?
The whole thing in the church as well at the moment is about, hasn't there been the big debate about women vicars?
Oh, women vicars.
And women bishops and things. I can't remember what they decided about.
I think women vicars is fine. I think they've got women bishops now. It's stupid. If you can be a vicar, you can be a bishop.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I thought that was quite a sweet way to end it. I'm glad. It's not the end. It seemed like it could have been a nice end to it on Wednesday, but it carried on a little bit more because on Friday it was just Sean has been
Billy
invited to
round.
Go out.
No, just get to the point. Billy goes round and says, look, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out to the bistro with everyone. Can we stay in? And Sean like is a bit disappointed. And then they talk about their day, and it kind of is awkward and difficult because Sean's trying to cook dinner and Billy's not, you know, Billy's been out, and it just makes it difficult to they find it difficult to find time together.
And Todd's making it worse,
Todd's
isn't he? He comes
worse.
Home and wants to
it's
watch
a combination
this political
of
drama from Finland.
Not being able to go out and having to stay in, and then if you stay in, you've got to cook and everything. And he says, so when Billy leaves, he goes back to the vicarage by himself. He says, oh, I'm sorry, we can't spend that much time together. And they go outside, and he kisses him on the doorstep. Which is an unusual place. And Billy says, I'm not ashamed of you. Which made me wonder whether there was somebody watching them in the...
Yeah, you kind of imagine the bishop kind of at the side of the road twitching the curtains or something. Or
it was a bit of a stupid thing to do. If you're going to go to all the trouble of not going out to the bistro because you don't want people to know that you're going out together, then don't kiss each other on the doorstep.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult times ahead, isn't it? I hope that he does stay a vicar, because I wouldn't want to think that this has come between him and his vocation. And he's so adamant that you can be gay and this is how God made him and everything. So
I know,
be...
so he should preach it, like literally.
Yeah, maybe.
That's where the church needs to go now. They're always going on about how, like, wasn't it the other day the UK was, like, in a survey revealed to be one of the most secular countries in the entire world.
Yeah.
And if you want people to come to the church and you want people to embrace religion, you need to show that you embrace the society as it is.
Mm.
I know some people are going to argue back and say, yeah, well, no, the church needs to stay true to its core beliefs, otherwise it just makes a mockery of the whole thing. But on the other hand, you know, times have changed. Mm. We don't have services in Latin anymore.
Yeah. We still haven't seen any of Billy preaching.
I know, I'd like to see. I bet you the first time we see him doing a sermon, it's going to be something about, you know, God making you how you are. And
yeah, I do wonder whether it is going to lead towards, like, Sean converting or whatever, because he's become a lot more accepting of Christianity since going out with Billy, hasn't he?
He's a lot less nervous about it.
Yeah, because when he first started going, he was always like, oh yeah, me and the church have never got on. It's almost the case now where I'm a bit sick of Sean going on about it, because almost every other sentence that come out of Sean's mouth is some kind of Bible quote or whatever that he's using against him, isn't he? He's like,
all really?
Yeah, he's talking about turn the other cheek, or he's making some kind of, not innuendo, but some kind of comment about, oh, what would Jesus do, or something like that. That's what I've noticed anyway.
I hadn't noticed that at all.
And I think maybe that's, I don't know where he's getting all this from. But
I just
think
don't know why he doesn't just go to speak to Sophie. Probably because Sophie's doing everything she can to prove that she is the worst Christian ever to have lived.
Yeah, because does Sophie go to Billy's church? I can't even remember whether that.
You'd assume
that
they all went to the same church.
Yeah, and if, I mean, you don't know whether there's other gay people in the congregation or closeted or whatever. So, I mean, Billy teaming up with Sophie seems to be the natural progression for
this. This is what we said about flipping Faye and the baby and Sarah and Bethany, but they've not had this conversation
No,
yet.
It seems to be completely obvious, and I don't know why these haven't happened yet.
No, it's like you've written this fictional world where people actually speak to their neighbours, which is totally wrong. Nobody does this in real life. So why are you then stopping at the most obvious conversations to take place?
Yeah, well, one obvious conversation that did happen this week was Steve talking to Kirk about dogs on the bench, wasn't it?
Yes,
because
you segueing through Bride and Gloom storyline.
Yes, exactly, because Steve has discovered a dog in the back of his car, or as I said, he's discovered a whiny little bitch on the back seat of his taxi, and it isn't just Michelle coming along for the ride.
Aww.
No, it's I don't know what sort of dog it is. I'm not an expert at all. What's it close to?
Mongrel.
No.
I don't know.
It's quite a cute little dog,
it's
isn't
like
it?
A
it's got
terrier,
giant bat ears.
It's got very small. Maybe.
I don't know.
I've forgotten what type of. We had to have a dog. It looked a bit like him. You remember Lucy?
Yeah.
I can't
she was a chihuahua, but this dog
no,
was.
She wasn't.
Wasn't
a
she?
Chihuahua.
Oh, no, she wasn't, was she? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, it's a little dog, is the type of dog it is.
It's a small dog. A short dog. I would call it short because it does look short, doesn't it?
Mm. Well, they ended up calling it Rover in the end, didn't they?
Even though it's a girl.
Even though it's a girl, it doesn't make sense. And there has been a dog called Rover on Coronation Street before. Yes, I think it. It was Bet and Alec for a time had a dog living at the Rovers, and that was called Rover. And I think this was a case of like. Bet really loved it and Alec couldn't be doing with it, so then he got somebody to pretend to be the dog's owner and then take it away from
horrible
her. Very sad. That was a big Alsatian or something though.
Oh.
So it wasn't like something with the new Rover, it could be something that you can imagine kind of pottering around in the back and not getting in people's way too much. But anyway, Steve is obviously very attached to this dog on Monday, and then with the other part of the storyline is the reminder that Tony is anxious about Steve finding a buyer for the pub, because did Steve decide that he was going to sell up in order to pay for all these debts that he's having?
Yeah.
And Tony fakes a phone call being hassled by loan sharks, and Michelle's like, okay, I'll speak to Steve as soon as I can about it. So anyway, that was Monday. What have you found?
Well, Lucy was a Jack Russell mix.
Yeah, he is a bit Jack Russell.
I think that's the type of dog that I was thinking he looks.
Yeah.
Like a mix of something else.
Mm. This dog is being used as a way of like bringing Steve out of his depression, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it certainly sort of put a bigger smile on his face than anything else. And he's like, he's got
adorable.
Someone to love and somebody to talk to. And,
is it just another Swish car, though?
A little less expensive, you would hope.
Well, he's still spending quite a lot of money on the shampoo and the
steak and everything, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's kind of taken his mind off the wedding a bit as well, because Michelle's stressing out about venues and everything on Wednesday, and this is like, why don't you just have it here? And that does make sense to me. If they're trying to do a wedding that's cheapish and someone else is paying for it, they really should just have it at the Rovers, I think.
Well, if they deck it out nice. I don't know what she's so snobby about. Anyway, everyone has it there. If you don't get married there, you still like have your reception there anyway, it's obvious.
Yeah. So we have Wednesday was when we had the little chat on the bench between dog expert Kirk and Steve, and Kirk saying, oh, he's going to be missing his owners. So yeah. Steve goes and checks to see if it's microchip, but it's not. So he puts his name down for her. To go and find somebody to look after her. And yeah, he goes off and gets his dog shampoo and everything. But he obviously does want to keep the dog. And also we have a little bit on Wednesday of Tony having trouble with his best man speech, which is what turns into the main bit of the storyline on Friday. Because
apparently
the
dog's real name is Cookie.
Oh, what, the real dog who played? Yeah. Oh, that's a nice name. Aww, that could be a Cookie. Girl's name. Yeah. So Friday is when Tony's trying to do this best man speech for Lloyd, for Steve, but because Tony actually is a terrible choice for best man, he doesn't know Steve and has never had any shared experiences with him.
I would go so far as to say Lloyd. He doesn't even particularly like him.
And he's also kind of double crossing him as well. Yeah, with everything. Exactly. So he's finding it a bit difficult, and then Andrea's just kind of fed up with the whole thing because she knows that really Lloyd should be the one that's the best man, and they basically she conspires with Michelle so that by the end of the episode Lloyd is asked by Steve to do the best man's job, which makes sense. So they are now friends again at the end of the episode, which is lovely.
Aww,
for now.
Yeah.
It's been very silly that they've fallen out anyway, but I'm glad they are back to being friends again.
Have you spoken about...
I haven't said anything about what's happened with Tony and Tracy.
They're just conspiring. They don't talk about anything new.
No, not particularly.
They just keep reminding us that they are having a
little affair. Yeah. Todd knows about it, which isn't going anywhere. He's too busy
meddling in Eileen's life.
Eileen and Mary this week.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but it's going to have to be soon, isn't it, that this buyout takes place.
Anyway, talking about Mary...
Well, another side guy. That's very good. You're good at this tonight.
Todd's
evil
meddling.
Schemes.
So, where this is... Mary and Julie are still clashing with each other. But most importantly, Todd phones the council and reports somebody living in a motorhome on Coronation Street and says it's a health hazard.
Yeah, it's because Mary was refusing to give Todd credit at the shop, and Julie was trying to...
Julie was trying to say it was okay because he's like family, and she's like, no.
Was the only reason that Todd reported her? Do you think it was because he was annoyed about this credit thing, or did he just...
Probably. You know what he's like? He's petty, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think he's petty enough for that. I think, again, he just... Maybe he was just bored again and he wanted to put Mary and Julie up against each other and kind of sit back and watch
well, I think
the
it's fair
disaster
to say
unfold.
Considering they put that scene in there, you're supposed to believe it's slightly a catalyst.
Well, that was also there so that Mary would blame Julie for it, wasn't it? So
after the second episode, we see a council person taking photos on their iPads, and she's called Mrs. Bird. She's health and safety for the council, and she's investigating an illegal encampment, she tells Mary. And she gets very worried, and Mrs. Bird says, yes, you're a tax dodger, manipulating the system. It was a neighbour that dobbed you in, and the consequences could be dire, and you have to find somewhere else to live. So Mary tells Ken and Norris that she thinks Julie is to blame, and then she screams at her in the pub and calls her a Judas. And Julie says, I didn't even know you were breaking the law, and I'd never do it because I'm your friend. And if you think I'm capable of doing such a thing, then we were never friends in the first place.
I do find it difficult sometimes to sympathise with Mary because she's so overdramatic and caricature-like, isn't she?
She does always leap to the worst possible conclusion. I'd get quite sick of it if I was her friend.
So would I. I don't think I'd be able to put up with her if I knew her in real life. I mean, she is nice and everything.
She's funny.
She's funny, but...
Watch.
Yeah, I preferred the more gentler side we've seen of her when she's been interacting with the twins and Dev and everything later. But this week she was just a little bit over the top, I think. Like throwing herself over the bonnet of her van and everything and screaming down the street when it gets pulled away.
So on Wednesday, Julie gets some lovely flowers from Dev, and Sean's like, oh, they're rubbish. And she says, I don't want to take them back because Julie will snip the heads off, which I don't know what that means.
Because they're at each other's throats, aren't they?
Yeah, but where do they... don't let her anywhere near them, then. Anyway, Mary's been given 24 hours to move, or they're going to tow her away. And she has to go to a registered site in Hyde, and she's worried and sad because she doesn't want to live so far away, and she can't afford the fees. So Todd comes over, and Mary tells him, and she also blames Julie again, and says she's not going to surrender, and she's going to stage and sit in. So she has a little discussion with Emily about tactics. And then she goes into the corner shop to get some supplies, And Todd is there and he says, oh, I'll get you some duct tape. And all the way through this episode, Mary is like, oh, Todd's so supportive of me. He's so brilliant. He's so, so great.
Yeah. Until Friday, which is when the sit-in takes place. And Todd goes around to see Mary and he suddenly just switches, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, it would seem to her that he's just switching because
he says, your motorhome's ugly and takes up 2 parking spaces. You're a parasite and anybody could have called the council on you, but Julie doesn't have a bad bone in her body and it wasn't her.
Well, is he feeling guilty about the way that Mary's treating Julie? So I don't understand
why. He doesn't like Julie. He surely doesn't give a crap about Julie either.
Well, Julie has supported him in the past.
Yeah, but surely, Todd is horrible.
Yeah, well,
Todd doesn't care about anybody, not even his own mum.
He likes that. What I don't understand is he likes to, at the moment at least, show or put up the pretense of being a kind and caring citizen. And he's now made an enemy of Mary, and he doesn't really want to make enemies.
He wants an enemy of Mary.
Well, if he's called her a parasite. And...
No, he just says, lay off, or me and you will fall out. So what he's done there is be horrible to Mary and make her feel crap, but still make himself look like the good guy because he's kind of giving her advice. Like, you're blaming poor sweet Julie, but you know Julie is a lovely person. She would never do anything to hurt you.
So she feels bad about herself.
Yeah, she feels bad about herself, but she doesn't feel bad about Todd for bringing that to her attention because he's doing it in a kind of moral crusader type of way.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, she thinks that she's succeeded in this sit-in once it's past 5 p.m. and so she goes into the Rovers, but then Emily comes in panting that they need to come out quickly because
she goes into the Rovers to give Julie an apology.
Oh yeah, they have a nice, and they're best buds again, aren't they?
But that's when Emily comes in. Oh, there's you need to come quickly. And they go out to the street to find the motorhome's being towed away.
Yeah, so they're running down the street. Julie's holding onto her boobs as she runs.
Yeah, she is.
And so Mary drowns her sorrows for the rest of the episode. So,
with 3 brandies.
Yeah, and she's going on about how her life is over and her soul has been crushed. And this is the kind of thing that I mean, like, I can't be dealing with all this over-the-top drama from
Julie. I like
Julie.
It in the show. You mean Mary.
Mary, sorry, yeah.
So later on, it looks like Julie and Mary are staying together. So I guess we missed it earlier in the episode.
What? Yeah, they're just like they're friends again in the Rovers, aren't they?
No, because earlier on, this is what I mean about on Wednesday when Julie gets those flowers and she doesn't want to take them home because she thinks Mary's going to snap the heads off. They must have been living together. I don't understand. Anyway, on Friday, they are living together without any discussion about whether they're going to live together or not that I saw.
I can't remember whether they did. I thought they did and they said they're going to stay together, but I don't know anyway.
Anyway, she comes in and she starts...
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they? Because Mary came in and Julie was like to the children, oh, Mary's going to stay with us for a while now. And they're like, yay, yay. And they'll start doing this homework together.
This is why I got confused about... I still don't understand on Wednesday her saying I don't want... I think that maybe there was scenes were moved around.
I don't know, maybe.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, anyway, Mary tells Julie that she's found back from the van towers that she might have to end up selling it. And she has probably moved in with them and she starts hogging the TV by watching this gripping Finnish political drama.
Todd was also watching it, didn't he?
It's just going to be a new angle on the Devs Divas kind of fighting over each other. Because although they've made up by the end of the episode, Mary sitting on the sofa and taking over the house already looks like she's going to get up Julie's nose. So I'm sure that more hilarity will ensue. And I do not know when Dev's coming back, but it's definitely not going to be in the near future. But I can't see this storyline being particularly big over the next few months. It's just going to... there's going to be the odd kind of little storylines here and there like there was this week, but it was all right for now.
That's fine. Let's talk about Cougar's Cub final storyline.
Yeah, not much happened, was it? It was just on
go
Monday.
Then. Go.
Well, Erica's decided that she's going to have the baby, and Nick's a bit taken aback, but he does seem genuinely happy about it because he hasn't got any children of his own, and Simon was the closest thing he had, and he's promised to support her, and Liam finds out, she's stunned as well, and it kind of also led into. We saw that Leanne was looking a little bit wistful about it, didn't she? I don't know whether she's kind of thinking, oh, Nick could have been having children with me and I'm not having any children with Leanne or everything. She's kind of sad that she's never actually going to have kids of her own.
You mean with Cal?
With Cal, sorry, yeah. David finds out, he thinks it's hilarious. And Carla basically says that she's going to stay clear of it now. So the romance, the blossoming romance, possibly between Carla
Thank
and
God
Nick,
for that.
Has yeah has
thankfully come to an end
before it even got started, which is good because none of us liked it together. But I mean, I assume it is going to come back.
I assume something horrible is going to happen.
Assume so as well. Yeah.
And then they'll be back together again.
Yeah, I don't find Erica interesting in the slightest. She was on this morning, the actress who plays her, also something like that this week, and she was like saying, "Oh, I hope that Erica's going to be in it for the long term." She just doesn't seem like she fits with me. We don't need a character like Erica. And I know that Coronation Street is kind of built on strong women and everything, and this is kind of what she likes to be, but she just seems like an outsider at the moment.
Yeah, she doesn't have enough links to the street to really.
No.
Anyway, that was the week on Coronation Street. Who is your favourite character?
Character of the week this week. Why don't you say, because I always say first.
Rover.
Oh, yeah, of course. How could it be anything else other than Rover?
Rover, a.k.a. Cookie. Cookie Gregson.
My favourite storyline of the week has probably been the Billy and Sean stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's been quite uplifting and everything.
And who's the best character in that, then?
Probably Sean.
Do you reckon?
Because he's been so supportive, and he wouldn't let Billy resign, and he's like saying, "Oh, as long as the fact that you said that you resign for me shows me just how much you mean to me," and it's all been pretty sweet. And he wants to make a something stronger out of the relationship and take them out, but Billy's kind of still a bit unsure about it. But yeah. I'm going to have Sean as my character of the week. He's been good this week. Speaking of which, that's who we're going to do as our character profile this week. So.
What? How convenient.
I know, very convenient. Let's go on and talk about that now. Okay, so this week for our character profile, we are going to be covering the character of Sean Tully, which has been...
Of the House of Tully.
The House of Tully of Riverrun. He's quite a controversial character, isn't he? He came in as a controversial character being... the kind of the first gay character on Coronation Street, or one of the first long-standing gay characters of the street, and he's controversial now in that he's actually not particularly popular or well liked by a lot of fans, is he? But then other fans probably do like him, and I quite like Sean, but there's lots of people that want them to get rid of Anthony Cotton because he never really does anything, and he has definitely been a lot of a background character since he first came into it. So we'll be finding out about some of the storylines that he did get involved with coming up now. But first, Gemma, run down Sean's profile.
He was born on the 13th of September 1976 to Paul Jones and Maureen Tully. He has had a child, Dylan Wilson, in 2008, and he first appeared on the 13th of July 2003. He's been in 1,284 episodes, the 40th most commonly featured character, and the 28th longest running current character, played by Anthony Cotton.
40th most commonly featured character is quite high up, isn't it, considering
very
like
high up.
He's not in it much, but I suppose he's working at the Rovers and the Factory.
If you work in the Rovers and the Factory, you're going to be in it.
You're going to be in the background of it, even if you're not particularly doing much.
Yeah.
I think people got sick of him during the Phil Collinson era of Coronation Street, because I think
Is that when he got his chat show?
Yeah,
That was just... Too much, wasn't it?
Anthony Cotton was definitely everywhere for a time, and he's not particularly at the moment.
No.
Anthony Cotton himself is a bit of a controversial character or person as well, isn't he? Because not everybody likes him.
I've heard people saying he's not very nice.
So have I. I've met somebody who's met him, and apparently he wasn't very nice in real life.
And but... I've not heard anyone say, no, he was really nice. I've not heard any nice stories about him, which doesn't mean that he's not a nice person. But it does mean that perhaps he needs to work on his PR.
Maybe.
Or be nicer to people in the flesh. Because I can imagine if I was an actor who didn't really... Well, the thing is, he wants to be famous, though.
Yeah.
If I was an actor and I didn't want to be famous, but I just wanted to be an actor, because there are these people that are actors who seem to not understand that the two things go together, and I was fed up with people hassling me, I probably would be a bit grumpy.
Maybe that's all it is. I don't know.
But no, he wants to be famous. And part of being famous is that, you know, when you imagine, I want to be famous, in your mind, you conjure up an image. Surely, most people, the word famous just means me signing a bunch of autographs or me walking somewhere and everyone's screaming my name. Do you know what I mean?
And that's
famous
the kind
means.
Of thing that he's not necessarily...
And he's not very good at that, apparently.
So I think probably sometimes he is, and other times when he wants to be left alone,
Yeah.
He wants to be left alone.
And that is going to be the story that you tell. You're not going to say, oh, yeah, I saw Anthony Cotton. He wasn't horrible, but he wasn't nice.
Yeah.
What a great story. Tell me more.
Well, let's go and find out about his casting.
We're only saying
then.
This because he might listen to this. I don't think he will. I've heard he's horrible.
But he might be nice.
He might be nice.
And I actually do really like Sean.
If you're Anthony Cotton's mum, let us know.
It made me a bit sad when
Did
the person told me
woman?
About
this. Yeah, we weren't happy to know that he was not very nice. It's the same with anyone. Any famous person you hear, oh, they're not very nice in real life. You think, oh
that's a shame. So he was cast in the role of Sean after he died.
You've missed out all this stuff. He was cast in the role
that's
of Sean.
That's what I was just about to say.
No, you said...
I just literally said he's cast in the role of Sean, and then you said, no, he was cast in the role of Sean.
I thought you were talking about the bit antithesis.
No, he was cast in the role of Sean.
I didn't say anything.
After being in a number of other TV roles. No. Most famously, he was in Queer as Folk, the famous Russell T. Davis controversial drama on Channel 4.
Are you going to mention
Queer as Folk? He played a character called Alexander in that.
Apparently.
But he also had a couple of small parts in the likes of The Bill and Absolutely Fabulous. I don't remember him in either of those.
No.
But apparently he was. He was also in Coronation Street. Well, he was in Coronation Street in 2003. This was his first appearance in it. But it wasn't until the following year that he was a regular. And I think it was only like one episode in 2003 he was on. He was at a hospital disco because this was back when Martin Platt was a nurse, and he was a friend of Carl Foster, who was one of Martin's colleagues, and that was kind of the time when Todd was discovering his sexuality. In 2004 was when Sean appeared again, when Carl and Todd were seeing each other, and they had a night out in Canal Street. And I think it was something like they were there having a snog, and then sort of somebody that Todd knew was just around the corner, and then they didn't see him or anything, but Sean was there as the token gay character, sort of saying, oh, come and live it up in Canal Street. Todd, come over to the dark side or whatever, because we always have such wonderful fun here. So that was kind of another little appearance for him. August, though, 2004, was when he sort of came in as a main... What's it called? Permanent character. He had a permanent contract from that August. He bumped into Todd when he was on the search for somewhere to live, and he became a lodger with Eileen, and stayed there ever since.
Never left.
He also clearly fancied Jason back then again as well. He got a job in the factory later that year in 2004, soon after. He made friends with the likes of Fizz and Kelly, and there was a bit of a storyline where Kelly Crabtree tried to seduce him as a challenge, but she failed miserably.
It's a bit of a terrible storyline, isn't it?
Yes.
In 2005, he got a job as a bingo caller, but he resigned after Vera Duckworth accused him of cheating.
Oh, no.
And Fred Elliott, God, this is so old, isn't it? Vera Duckworth, Fred Elliott.
Those were the days.
Gave him a part-time job behind the bar at the Rovers, and he's never left there either.
I know.
Well, he probably has flounced out a few times.
He's kind of a character with the most stable work life relationship. That's the only thing, isn't it? If he'd have stayed in the same person, he'd have just been completely stable for the past 12 years. But yeah, I think Sean was a bit of a Bette Lynch replacement in a way. Like the blonde, the kind of
the vivacious bombshell.
Yeah, exactly. Just different gender.
Different gender. He borrowed Betty's cat Marmaduke so he could go and see Tim the vet, but he ended up getting put down. Not Sean. The cat. not the vet. The cat.
Betty's another blast in the past, isn't she?
And they briefly dated.
Yes.
And then in 2006, his auntie Betty died.
Different Betty.
And he tried to contact his dad, Brian, who abandoned the family 20 years before, and discovered that Brian was not actually his biological father, and his mum had had a fling with a plumber.
I don't remember any of this. Do you remember this going on? 2006, what were we doing then?
Don't know.
I don't even remember. That was 10 years ago. I do not remember this storyline at all. You definitely were. 2007 was when we were introduced to Sonny Dillon, which was one of Sean's ex-boyfriends. And it turned out that he was in a relationship with Michelle Connor. And Sean was like, no, what are you doing? You're not gay. Why are you going out with her? And they ended up having...
You mean you are gay?
Yeah, you are gay, sorry. You're not straight. Why are you going out with Michelle? They ended up having a fling, Sean and Sonny. And then Sonny was like getting worried and proposed to Michelle. So it was like... So this is a character who obviously grew up in a world that wanted him to be straight. And he thought that this was the right thing to do.
So Michelle could be his beard.
Yeah, exactly. So Michelle found out about it and she dumped him. Sean rejected him too because he was like, well, you turned your back on our culture, I suppose. Yeah, he and also he felt guilty about kind of everything that had been going on between Sonny and Michelle.
Yeah.
From this point onwards is where I kind of remember Sean. Everything that we've been just talking about, I barely remember. But the big story in 2007 is when Sean agreed to be a sperm donor for Violet Wilson, because she was, I think they agreed that like if they hadn't had children by the time they were 30 or something,
they'd married.
Have some together or something.
Oh yeah, sorry, that's right. It's very well in grace, isn't it?
Yes.
He wanted to be a hands-on father, and then he got interested in the sonographer Marcus.
Yes.
They started dating, and then he tricked Marcus into revealing the gender of the baby, and Violet didn't want to know, and then they fell out, and she refused to let him be a father to the baby.
Yes, yeah, so that's kind of sad for Sean. In 2008, the baby was born, Dylan, Violet had shacked up with Jamie Baldwin by this point, and because she'd fallen out with Sean after she tricked him about revealing the sex of the baby, she ran off to London, and Sean was just left screaming down the cobbles, "My son!"
Yeah.
Which is a little Coronation Street line that Gemma and I have
always used
for the time,
even though we don't even have a son.
My son is a Coronation Street.
It's generally what we use when somebody's being overly dramatic about something.
Yes, if on TV or something, yeah. Or if somebody else on the TV in another situation shouts it out.
Yes, it's quite often.
Anybody else having any Corrie catchphrases that they use in real life?
Them.
We have a few.
Right, he got dumped by Marcus because he was jealous of him staying with the next in London in the same year.
2010, Sean tried to get back in touch with Violet over the internet. He wanted to know what was going on more with his son. He pretended to be Liz so that she would speak to him, and Liz fired him when she found out. But she didn't last very long. He got his job back soon. And not only that, but he also convinced Violet to let him go and see Dylan, which is nice. Aww. It's nice to think that he wants to be a good dad to him. Although it's kind of only when he feels like it. I mean, most of the time he doesn't even mention him, does he?
Well, yeah, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, though, do you?
No.
In 2011, while visiting Dylan, he bumped into Marcus, who often babysits for the couple. A few months later, Marcus came back to Weatherfield and he and Sean started to date.
Sean got a chance to be a proper dad for a bit in 2011 as well, because Violet was injured in a car crash off screen and Dylan was sent to live with Sean. Marcus realised that he wanted to actually be a parent himself, and they looked into adopting, but Sean wasn't so keen. He was happy with his one child.
There's so many adoption storylines in Coronation Street.
I know. Everyone wants to do it.
It's weird, isn't it? In 2012, he was shocked to find that Betty had left him the hot pot recipe in her will. And ever since then, he's been like the guardian of the hot pot recipe.
It's quite funny.
Because it landed him hot water recently with the pub, didn't it?
When he
criticised the landlord's hot pot.
Yeah.
Now, this caused eruptions because he'd started a new job at the bistro and took the recipe with him. But then he realised that it belongs back in the Rovers.
Once Stella threatened to sue him anyway.
Yeah. Then he got jealous when Marcus consoled his colleague Aidan, who his father had reacted badly to him coming out. And then Marcus eventually ended up dumping Sean because he was so jealous.
Sean is a very jealous type, isn't he?
He is.
That's what his downfall, and it may well end up being the downfall between him and...
It's like, you're spending a lot of time with this Jesus fellow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's
could
just
be. Just because he's got better abs than me.
Sean has kind of said, accepted, like, I know you're going to have a lot of time with the church.
He does mention it as a positive at the moment, but...
Yeah.
Can get quite tiring. Right, he found out at the end of the year that Marcus started a relationship with Maria. He was just shocked.
Yeah, this is I suppose that's a little bit of a callback to all the Sunny thing, isn't it? It's like about trying to play it straight
Being
or whatever.
Fluid in your sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2013, when Todd reappeared, he manipulates Sean into getting back into Eileen's good books by pretending to be interested in him.
I felt so sorry for Sean back then, because Todd's just come back and been evil and horrible. And then last year he started dating...
He's only been back in it since 2013.
It was late 2013.
I feel like he's only been in it a few months.
Well, since Todd's been in it, he's just been... nasty, and that's all his storylines, being nasty to, he's like working his way around the street of people that he's being horrible to. I just want to wait to see whether he's ever going to get a storyline where we can feel sorry for him or kind of sympathise with him or anything.
Well, he had the scar, but that's it.
That's almost like a, well, you deserve that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would have done it to you if I'd had the chance.
Mm. So now he is dating Billy, and this year we've seen Billy struggling to be both a gay man in a relationship and also a vicar. But from the developments this week, it looks like he's going to be able to try and do both, albeit being secretly going out with Sean.
Secret gay.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it for Sean's storylines. And for a character that's been in the show for 12 years, is it now? That's not been much that's happening. So I wonder why is it that Sean is underused so much? Is it?
It's probably the old thing of he's gay. We've got to put a gay storyline in. Oh.
A lot of the storylines looking at it have been revolving around his sexuality, isn't it? I mean, there's not been very much there that's been Sean has a problem with.
Yeah, this is what it is. People get bored if it was always Sean and being gay, and it's not a programme about that, is it? Because Coronation Street is mostly to do with people and their relationships with other people, it's got to be him being gay. And because there aren't many other gay characters on the street, he's limited, isn't he, with the amount of storylines that he can have.
I suppose if he's settles down with Billy a little bit, maybe they'll be able to have some just like usual couple kind of situation. But I wouldn't mind that. I'd like to see
there
something.
There was quite a lot of stuff that happened with him and Marcus that we haven't spoken about, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
But it's all like small scale
stuff. It's all small scale stuff because he's very much a background character, and I've enjoyed having him
No, I don't mind him having the odd storyline. I think he's been in it about as much as I would like him to be in it.
He can grate on you after a little bit, can he?
I don't think so. I just think there are some. It's the same with Julie or Mary or any of those characters that have got larger than life personalities. I don't want them doing the backbone of the drama in the show because it doesn't really mesh well with what I like about them.
Mm, yeah, I guess you're right. So he's actually, even though he's quite a controversial actor, Anthony Cotton has actually won quite a few awards for his portrayal of Sean.
Well, has he? There's controversy about this, isn't there? In 2005, he won NTA Most Popular Newcomer and Inside Soap Most Popular Newcomer and Funniest Performance.
Pretty good.
2006, Inside Soap Funniest Performance. In 2007, BSA Best Soap Actor and Inside Soap Best Actor.
What was going on in 2007 that got him all the awards then? Oh, that was all the stuff with Violet and the Sun and everything.
Yeah, so what's the quote you've got from Wikipedia?
It is also worth note to consider that once it became clear that the Anthony Cotton show was not going to be a success, he simultaneously lost the ability to win these meticulously adjudicated awards.
Some snidey bugger. I wonder if it's one of you listeners has gone in and put that into Wikipedia. A pointed comment, I suppose. He definitely fell out of favour.
Yeah, definitely. I think people got a bit sick of...
In 2008.
Of him.
Yeah, it was too much. That Anthony Cotton show ran for a month in 2008.
Yeah, we watched it
for
a bit.
I mean, Davina McCall had her own show, didn't she? Yeah. Loads of people have done it. Well, it doesn't always work.
He was obviously trying to build on the success of the likes of Graham Norton and Paul O'Grady.
Yeah.
Both gay men hosting and sort of and being all nicey-nicey with guests and everything.
Is there something inherently unlikable about Anthony Cotton in real life?
Well, I was looking at the guests that are on Anthony Cotton chat show as well. There was an awful lot of Coronation Street guests in that one month. I don't know whether there were people that just didn't want to go on it or anything.
Maybe it was a problem that you couldn't get a good enough mix of people.
I don't know. We only watched a little bit of it anyway. So Sean came in as he's as one of the first gay characters, and he was there to kind of fly the flag and tempt Todd over in those days. And he's definitely been obviously the most long-standing gay character because Todd's been out of it so long. I think one of the things that people don't like about him is that he's very much a gay stereotype, and like as being the flag flyer of homosexuality in Coronation Street, should he be quite so camp?
There's always a massive argument, isn't there, about this, because gay culture has created this kind of stereotype of gayness, and there it becomes sort of a kind of division between those who can pass as straight and those people that you would never know were gay. And those people that just sort of wear it on their sleeves, you know straight away. Well, but then again, you can be camp and not gay.
Yeah, well, Marcus wasn't particularly...
No. I think Sean, as a character, they've written him as a man who is attracted to people that aren't so camp. because I wouldn't say Billy was camp.
No, I don't think so
I'd
either.
I'd say you didn't know was, Billy is gay either. From the way he acts, but I wouldn't say that he is camp.
No, no. I don't know whether it would be, be able to put up with Sean going out with somebody else who's also very flamboyant.
I think it's not fair to say he's too much of a gay stereotype either, because it's kind of a two-barbed insult. On the one hand, it's like insulting the idea of being camp to start with, because it's always been a way of bringing gay men down, because it's like, oh, you're so feminine and women are rubbish. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You're a man, you should act like a real man.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, saying the only acceptable type of gay person is the sort I don't realise is gay.
Well, yeah, but there are gay people that are like Sean, aren't there?
There are people like that, and I guess if I was a gay man and I was not camp, I would be sick of it being on television, because historically it's always been played as a joke.
Mm.
Like, who's the guy in Are You Being Served, Mr. What's-His-Face?
Yeah, it's
like
similar.
It's just played for a laugh and it's just funny. Ha ha, look at this gay person.
But Coronation Street's been a camp show since the beginning, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, Warren was gay himself,
yeah.
and of the effeminate type, so...
Well, of the camp type.
Yeah.
So who, I mean, there's been loads of sort of female characters in there who've been gay icons because of how camp they were and
yeah.
how, like, drag queens they look.
Yeah, like,
so,
yeah, but Bette Lynch was the perfect
exactly.
example of that, isn't it? And I think, I don't know whether I've got the quote here, I don't think I have, that I remember seeing something that Anthony Cotton said about when he first started, he was kind of written, he almost felt like he was reading Bette Lynch's lines, and this was like, just under 10 years after Bette left, but then it was around the time that Bette was going to come back, but then Julie Goodyear couldn't hack it, and he did kind of feel a little bit like he was stepping into Bette's high heels a little bit, yeah.
I think it's a very comfortable performance as well. I feel like he's totally fine with what he's asked of him in his role, and, I mean, we even call it camping it up, you know?
Mm.
Like, he's fine with doing it. And it's not a bad thing to be camp and gay.
He doesn't.
That's the trouble.
It's not done completely for laughs. It's not the same as, like, in Are You Being Served?
No,
or
we're not laughing
like
at
that.
Him. He's just being completely himself. And it is kind of a joy to watch someone so comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah.
Do you not think?
Yeah. Because, I mean, the likes of Mary, she's much more of an overdramatic, flamboyant character
exactly.
than Sean is, I think.
Yeah.
He just kind of makes the odd kind of catty remark here and there and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes down to it, Sean is a very nice person.
He's kind of a lovable character.
He doesn't have much of a bad bone in his body, to be honest.
Not really.
And I always do feel sorry for him when there's situations
good.
Where you're supposed to sympathise with him.
He's quite morally upstanding, isn't he? He doesn't do very much wrong. Even someone like Eileen, who's quite a good, nice character, you would say, is a good person. She's done, you know, like when she stole that money that time,
yeah.
she's done stuff that's wrong. I can't remember what he's done.
No, not me particularly. I mean, and he can make the odd kind of catty remark about
he
someone,
can take
can't
things a bit
he?
Far sometimes.
Yeah, but so can
but
anybody,
yeah,
really.
Exactly.
So I think that's quite nice that he's been written as a nice, lovable character. And at the end of the day, Marcus was just a bit boring, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was nice enough, but just a bit boring, and I wouldn't say that Sean is boring. That's
no, he's not boring.
He's not boring. He's just not in very many big storylines.
I quite like the way that he sometimes like bobs his hair, even though he hasn't got any.
I know.
He kind of like adjusts his hair up a bit.
Yeah, that's where he's like
embodying
Bette Lynch, isn't
it? That is probably the campus thing. Yeah,
it?
It's probably that probably is in being possessed by the ghost of Bette Lynch.
Yeah.
No, she's still alive.
She's still alive in 75.
Mm.
So, do you think that with Billy, it is time for him to settle down, and that he will settle down? Or is it just going to be... I don't know how long...
You can't ever say anyone's going to settle down in Coronation
no,
Street, unfortunately.
That's true. I'd like to think of him kind of being happily married or happily with a partner. Because I always
like
feel
this.
Sorry for him as being the lonely singleton, a bit like Eileen.
Yeah, I would love this to go the whole hog and have a proper gay wedding in a church.
Mm.
I would. I think they should do that with these characters.
Yeah.
Because that would be the first gay wedding on Coronation Street, because Sophie and... What's her face?
Yeah, it didn't go through,
didn't
did
go
it?
Through with it.
And it could show that in Coronation Street, gay characters can kind of settle down and have a normal, quote-unquote, life. Because if Sean is just forever single, it kind of gives you the idea about...
It's not
saying,
magic,
oh, he's
promiscuous
and everything.
But then
really,
again,
he wants to settle down. He likes being a father to Dylan. And maybe... Go on.
Is it ever going to happen, though? Because let's be frank and practical about this. If they're going to have them settle down together, he's either got to leave or they're going to have to build a new set. But they're not going to do that, are they? Vicarage set.
If Billy stays being a vicar. They might have a vicarage set.
Well, why not?
Yeah. Back in the olden days, they wouldn't have had to worry, would they? Because they had their old mission hall and everything down in Coronation Street. They could have said it all there. Do you think that Sean will ever have Dylan come to live with him full time or anything, and he'll be able to be a proper dad? Like, is Violet going to have some tragic accident?
Well,
or
she's already proven she can't handle a car.
Yeah, that's true. I quite like seeing him as a dad, but then I do just in general get a bit fed up of storylines with
children.
Cheap people be, yeah, the storyline is children. I'm being a dad, and yeah, it's not that exciting, but I can completely see maybe in the future if Sean's still in it, Dylan coming back.
Yeah, I'd agree.
You get the idea that he sees Sean every now and again, but yeah, because he's mentioned so infrequently, he could go a few years not mention him at all, and then Dylan turns up, and I don't know, that is he going to be gay or is he going to be very homophobic or whatever? I don't know. It's a future storyline waiting to happen. Let's finish off with a quote from Anthony Cotton about Sean. He said, Sean has never had to explain who he was. He never had to come out. He was just as accepted into the community of Weatherfield from the start. So for every one of those people who say to me that Sean's a stereotype and that he doesn't have a political storyline, actually the fact he's never had to explain himself makes him the most political gay character in soap.
Interesting perspective there.
Yeah, it's true.
I think it's good. I think
he was accepted into the community.
It's not like a big deal. It's just that he is that like that.
Yeah. It's just that the storylines that he's been in have been to do with homosexuality, haven't they?
I mean, compare that with Hayley, and she was every single time somebody finds out that Hayley was a transsexual, it's how weird.
Yeah, that never happened with Sean.
So
I remember it being a really big thing as well when he came into Coronation Street, and when this was about the time where Todd was having that kiss with Nick, and that was huge controversy, and people writing into ITV to complain and whatever. And then Sean kind of has just slotted in. Yeah.
So I can't really remember many storylines he's had where it's been a major thing that he's had to fight against homophobia.
This is the main one, really, isn't it?
He's in
now.
Exactly. So he's been in it for so long, and he's never really come up against a storyline about, it's wrong to be gay.
No, I don't think so.
Which is kind of refreshing.
Yeah. So there we go. That is Sean. And
if you compare Sophie being a Christian, she's come up against so many hassles and so much problems, and everyone's always going, but you're a Christian, why are you being a bitch? Nobody keeps commenting to Sean about but you're gay, so
no, everyone accepts him, don't they? Yeah. I always thought it was funny that was it Betty, it was one of the old ladies, always used to kind of not really realise that he was gay, and she would say things like, when are you going to settle down and have a nice girlfriend or something? I think it was a little bit inconsistent. Sometimes she knew he was gay and sometimes she didn't. It was quite funny.
Still funny.
Yeah. So that is Sean.
Sean Tully.
And we're going to have, very soon, coming to the end of character profiles of current Coronation Street characters that we can actually do a decent character profile on. I've been having a look recently about who we've got left, and if you don't count the characters that have been only in it for a year or so, like the Andreas and the Tonys and everything, plus the children, which there's not that much to say about particularly, we only got Audrey Roberts left, which means that times are a-changing for Conversation Street.
Well, we're going to finish.
No, you're not going to finish. We've got episode 150 coming up. I don't think we're going to do anything big for that.
What episode is it today?
It's 148 today.
Blimey.
I know, there's lots of episodes. but yeah, it's going to be a bit of a change for this section in the show, just a little bit, because we thought, We definitely can't go on with the character profile forever. Classic character profile we definitely could string out for a little bit longer. And I've sometimes quite enjoyed the extra little discussions that haven't been related to specific characters that we've done. And we're going to be doing...
Like talking about being gay!
That could be just something, a discussion on its own, couldn't it? So we're going to be putting in a little bit more... discussions, like feature discussions about certain issues or certain... topics that kind of aren't related to one character. We've done this before with, I think right back at the beginning, we did a character profile on cancer at the beginning, and we talked about the history of cancer in Coronation
and
Street.
And to be fair, that was one of the funniest ones we've ever done.
I know. That was when Maria had that mini little cancer blip. Scare. Mm-hmm. And we've had discussions about Blackpool and France in the past, plus we've had our interviews.
Oh,
and
yeah,
our,
we had France as a character.
Had France as a character. So we're going to do a little bit more of that. We're still going to have a classic character profile. We're still going to try and fit in a non-classic character profile. I mean, although once Audrey's gone, there's not going to be that much to say on the characters that we cover. We're going to have these feature discussions as well. And also, we're trying to tossing around ideas about what like the fourth one could be. We could go on a 4-week rotation. At the moment, our idea is to try and have a listener questions segment, because when I listen to other podcasts, there's quite a lot of them have segments where you listeners are encouraged to write in and ask questions of the hosts. So we'd quite like to try that out as
give
well.
Give an example of a question, because I keep thinking like, what's your favourite hobby? That's not the sort of thing you expect.
No, about Coronation Street. Like, if you've got any ideas about the programme that we haven't discussed, if you've got an idea about something and you want to know what we feel about it.
Yeah, so not like, how many characters have blah-de-blah, not like that.
No, not anything that you could just go and look up on Corrypedia
and
yourself.
And also, we probably wouldn't know the answer.
No, well, not without looking on Corrypedia anyway. But if you want us to know, if you've got any theories that you want us to kind of discuss, see what we think of, or if you want to know what we would think about such and such a hypothetical situation.
Like, who do you think that Steve should marry? Or who's your favourite character?
Yeah,
or,
even if it's just something as simple as who's your favourite character or
what's
whatever,
your favourite
it's fine.
Set? Or who's the most underused comic character? Or who do you think is overdue at a storyline? Or what do you think, why are people always adopting each other?
Yes, so anything like that, and it could be something that could be a long discussion, or it could just be something that's like 3 or 4 minutes. Yeah, try to not make them just simple yes or no questions. But we'd really,
is
really
Michelle
like
a good character?
No. We'd really, really like for some listeners to write in with some questions, and then our first listener question section could probably be in, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks' time or something. The feature discussion will also, if we are well organised enough, try and announce in advance as well. So if anyone wants to write in with any comments about that, then do. With that in mind, next week our feature discussion is all going to be about animals and pets on Coronation Street, to tie in with the story of Steve getting his dog at the moment. So we're going to look at different pets that have been on Coronation Street in the past, some of the more memorable ones, talk a bit about why, or sort of the importance of pets and animals in the street, and also think about what future storylines could be, there could be for animals or characters with pets on the street. So I think it could be quite interesting. I've already started putting a few details together for it. But if you've got anything to say about animals or pets, or anything to ask about it, please do let us know, and we'll try and feature your comment next week. So that is the future for this section of Conversation Street, and I hope you all enjoy it. What is always going to stay the same every week, though, of course, is the news. Speaking of which, let's get on to that now. Okay, the cabin this week has only got one bit of news in there, and it's not the biggest thing either. I don't know what's going on in Coronation Street. Some of the actors need to have some more scandals or something, because very little has been happening in the last few weeks. I think they're keeping their heads down or something. But what is going on right at the moment, actually, is the Great Manchester Run, which is a 10K race that's going on in Manchester. Gemma is no stranger to long distance running herself, having done a half marathon a couple of weeks ago. And I think this week we got, well, there's a little team of Coronation Street stars that are doing it. We mentioned Colson Smith signed up for it, and there's a few others. I can't remember, but recently ex-cast-wise, Ian Poulsen-Davies is also doing it. He's not only doing the Manchester Run once, he's actually doing it twice. And this is
which makes a half marathon.
Well, how much is a half marathon?
Well, it's 13 miles.
Oh, so he's doing those. Well, he's doing 20K in total. And the idea of this isn't just to show off what an awesome runner he is, but because he's running for, to highlight or bring awareness to OCD, so obsessive compulsive disorder, and the fact that there's kind of a repetitive nature of it, where people are kind of need to feel like they compelled to do the same things over and over again. Because Ian, and I never knew this, has suffers from OCD, and he's running partner Debbie Her daughter's got it too, so he's kind of doing it to raise awareness, which is quite a nice reason to do it. So there's just a little quote here from Debbie. She says, "I thought about running in fancy dress, but I couldn't decide what would be appropriate. Then my partner," so this is Ian, "came up with the idea of demonstrating how time-consuming and exhausting the repetitive nature of obsessions and compulsions is by finishing the race and then feeling that I must repeat it. I certainly won't want to run the 10K again, and luckily for me, I can stop after the second time. But for the people with this hideous condition, the ritualistic nature of this disorder can take over and subsequently ruin their lives." So that's quite a charitable thing to do.
Yes.
I wouldn't like the idea, but I don't think I could even do one 10K. You did your, was it 13 then you did the other week?
13 miles.
Oh, okay.
So 20K is about 12 and a half miles.
Oh, okay.
And so a half marathon is like 13.1 miles.
Yeah.
And then,
I see. Okay, so he's doing about the similar then. Well, it's very, very good for him. And I don't know how much we'll get to mention Ian Poulsen-Davies again on Conversation Street. This is a nice way to leave it. And I suppose it's a bit too late. You probably finished it by now, at least the first way around.
I would hope so.
Well done for everyone else who's taken part in it. And that is it for Coronation Street News this week. Let's hope, fingers crossed, there's a little bit more next time. Let's move on now to the feedback section of the podcast.
The first bit of our feedback section is congratulations! Running congratulations to one of our long-time listeners.
Yes, right from the first episode. It's Tivor, she has got married.
Mrs. Tivor,
isn't that?
Yes.
Yeah, because we haven't had many comments from her recently because she's had more important things to think about.
What is she doing? Oh, she's getting married. That's quite time consuming.
Yeah, got married yesterday and it's quite sweet as well. Nice love story. And we met a couple of them when we went to Manchester last year.
So exciting.
It's very exciting. And I messaged her yesterday and she said it all went very well. It was a long, tiring day.
They both got married at the end of it.
It did happen. Weddings are supposed to be long and tiring, so that's it. So, yeah, congratulations.
Sometimes a bit boring,
I found. What, the wedding day? Some bits of it were.
Some bits of it
sitting around.
Yeah. Good food, I hope. That's the most important thing. Yeah. Did you have a good nosh?
We got a message this week from David Lloyd, who emailed us last week about, and he's making a correction to something that we thought was possibly wrong as well. Do you remember last week he said that there were 166 deaths in Coronation Street since 2000? And he said, I wouldn't believe that either. How did I get an extra one in there? I don't know. It must have been a typo. According to the Wikipedia site on birth, deaths and weddings in Coronation Street, there have been 158 deaths in all and 66 of them since 2000. It's 166 since 2000.
I totally believed it, but I was thinking to myself,
that can't possibly be right, can
it? I was thinking, well, it sounds like it's been a lot more exciting than I remember it being. Because, you know, I love a good death.
Yeah, so thank you for your correction.
I mean, that
Dave.
Would be quite, yeah, that's a bit silly, isn't it? Thanks for letting us know, Jay. Gail said, "Hi guys, as usual, I thoroughly enjoyed your podcast. Gemma, good luck on your half marathon." Thanks, it went quite well. "Michael, take care of yourself. Hope you get well soon." You gave it to me.
Gemma's had some get well messages as well coming through that I didn't copy on here, so thank you for your support, everyone.
She said, "Gemma, I must say I agree with you regarding Fizz, Tyrone, Sinead and Chesney. Boring. Nothing whatsoever against the actors who portray them, but like you said, if they were to leave the show, they would not be missed by me. Looking forward to next week's podcast."
Yeah. I would miss.
You'd just be in.
If they left, I would probably be like, I feel like I really, really would miss you, but in actuality, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's probably the case. Because I like them as just kind of nice characters. And there's nothing hugely controversial about them, and they're not like sexy kind of
people.
Wannabes or whatever, but yeah, they don't do very much, do they? But, you know, Jenny's coming back in a couple of weeks' time, so
chance
to reinvigorate the character, I suppose. Yeah, so sometimes it's just nice to keep characters in to
It's because you like collecting things. You are like a collector, an obsessive collector.
I'm a hoarder of old Coronation Street characters. Well, everyone's flimmin' leaving this year, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think I'll keep some of this cast the same. There's only so much Platts that you can take, as much as we like the Platt drama.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how well, like, if we take some of the Platt storylines, like the Prodigal Son storyline. So if the son imposter was given to another storyline, another couple or another family, would that be as interesting?
Don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? We don't.
We don't. I don't know. And our last message of the week is from Rebecca about last week's Coronation Street, which we said was a bit boring. She said, I enjoyed the podcast despite the week not being really strong one on curry, although I did enjoy the curry club scenes. Hopefully, though, the show will get back on track soon. And as always, I enjoy hearing Michael and Gemma's comments, good and bad, about the show. Yeah, that curry club didn't happen this week, did it?
No.
That could have carried on. As always, I agree that if you are a true fan, you can say both good and bad about the show because you care about it so much. You want it to be the best it can be. And as always, we'll be tuning in next week and keep up the good work.
That's kind of like when you have a family member who's a bit from that job or something.
Both of our families.
Somebody slags them off. You're like, no, you can't say anything bad about them. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, God, what a nut job.
Yeah. I think Curry was all right this week. It wasn't like amazing, brilliant week, but I enjoyed all the stuff with David going off.
It can't be amazing and brilliant every week, can it?
There's a bit of drama there, and all the Billy stuff was good as well.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that.
And I am glad that the Erica stuff didn't last the whole week. Delaying the inevitable, isn't it, when that comes out?
I know people probably won't agree with this, but I do think they're doing a good job because they're never going to get everyone saying every scene is amazing. But when we're talking to people and when we hear feedback, quite often people will say they enjoyed a completely different part of the show than we did, or they don't agree with us that so-and-so character's boring or so-and-so character's good.
Mm.
So the fact that there are so many different opinions about what's good and bad about it shows that they're at least making a balance.
Yeah. I think generally on the whole, the Billy and Sean storyline is going down quite well. I mean, it's not like being the big main storyline of the year. It's not sort of hitting headlines like the Kirsty and Tyrone one did, or the Tina murder and everything, but I think people are generally enjoying how different that is.
Now is not a good time for Coronation Street to be in the news anyway, because there's so much to do with politics and everything. No one cares about what's going on in television.
Yeah. Something I saw in the news the other day, which reminded me as well, is that EastEnders mentioned the election result on Thursday. Because, you know, sometimes they have their little late film scenes. And
I think EastEnders is much better at that.
Well, Coronation Street just doesn't do it. Apparently this week in EastEnders, they had somebody saying about, David Cameron's going to have a big smile on his face. And then they also had a character talking about Princess Charlotte as well.
Really?
Yeah, and so it's like saying, I'm going to name a baby Charlotte or something.
Maybe that's what Faye should call her baby.
Yeah, being set in London, I suppose the characters in EastEnders, it's more natural for them to be talking about London-based issues, even though the royal baby and politics
has changed. No, this is where you've stumbled upon the great argument about everybody outside London saying that London's the only place where anything happens.
But they talk about gay pride in Coronation Street and the march there that goes on in Manchester, don't they?
Yeah.
But that's all sort of filmed way beforehand and everything. I
prefer it if they talked more about what's going on. I mean, for God's sake, they're on a TV programme that gets shown every week.
And it gets filmed all the time.
And it's supposed to be happening in real time as we watch it.
Why
can't they take advantage of that?
Having never seen Coronation Street, EastEnders doing these things, I don't know whether it'd make me kind of feel like, whether it was out of place, like, oh, that must have been filmed today, and it kind of takes me out of the story a little bit.
It's supposed to be a real life show that takes place in our world that we live in ourselves.
I know, but it would click to me because all the spoilers come out and like we know when they're filming things weeks in advance. If there's then something that's obviously just been filmed, it's like, would seem like a bit of a clash to me. But if everything was kept hidden and everything, and it felt more like, oh, these could be real people, maybe then it would feel more natural. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. I just think it's lazy not to even try, honestly.
Take advantage of it when you can. Well, there's a live episode coming up this year. Maybe they'll do it then.
Make sure you don't date it by mentioning Princess Charlotte and David Cameron, because people will watch this next year and be so confused. I guess, I mean, the only... how big is EastEnders in other countries? Is it as big as Coronation Street? Because people in Canada won't have a clue.
I don't know. It would be nice. I'd like to give Coronation Street to give it a try. And then if I didn't like it, then...
Then they can stop doing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah. And you're talking about big weeks in Coronation Street. It's coming up to, must be soon, the year anniversary of when Tina died. And that kind of week... Is it like half term week? There's always something big that happens, and like factory sieges and Tina dying, and there's going to be a big storyline coming up in a few weeks' time. So even if things are looking a bit like tame at the moment, things will start hotting up in a few weeks' time.
Do you reckon?
I do.
Well, if you'd like to write to us about anything we've spoken about today, you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com or find us on conversationstreet.podbean.com. Leave us a review on iTunes, find us on Skype, Twitter and Facebook, and just talk to us.
Yeah, and don't forget about our new feature discussion thing. So if you've got anything to say about pets or animals on Coronation Street, anything you like, dislike, favourite pet, or anything that you want to say about pets, get it into us by Friday so that we can feature it in the discussion. And
Friday
then,
morning.
Oh, yeah, ideally.
Say Thursday.
As soon as you can, but no pressure. And then for the listener question segment coming up in a few weeks' time, if you have got any questions for us, if you want us to,
what, why,
there could be some good question starters that you could use.
Yeah, use any of those.
You could be featured on the very first monthly Conversation Street listener question section.
Yes.
If you like.
Right. That's it from us.
Let's go and have the rest of our Sunday. And everyone else, hope you have a lovely end of weekend or week.
Week, yeah.
Yes.
Bye.
We'll hopefully be back on schedule next week with the Friday episode, fingers
Maybe.
Crossed.
Bye.
See you. Bye-bye. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.